I want to sort of finish off what I was doing last night and just go into that, and then we'll see where we go after that. So we finished off last night looking at the fact that if we're going to be enable us to colonize the world, we need to do it from embassies of heaven, and therefore we all need to be ambassadors of those embassies. And we looked at Genesis 1:28. You know, God has empowered us, blessed us individually, corporately, to fulfill whatever he's mandated us to do. So to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over it. And that mandate applies to every single person and every single thing that God does. He uses that mandate to empower us because it never ended. It was given and then it continues. And we need to cultivate the desire of that mandate in our hearts to be fruitful, so that then we can then release that fruitfulness to multiply. You know, multiplication is so much what God wants to do. You know, go and make disciples, go and disciple the nations. It's all about actually seeing what you've received multiplied into others. You know, it's not so that we can get bigger, it's so that people can actually receive the revelation and the truth of our testimonies and our life, so that they then can find their own. And ultimately, to fill the earth, you know, one individual at a time. You know, and for us, you know, every one of our spheres of government, every one of our mountain or authority areas, if you like, need to expand. You know, they can't remain the same because there's no end to the increase of his government. If it's not expanding, it can't be the kingdom. You know, it's like we tend to like to remain comfortable in our comfort zones, in which we're used to what's going on, and that doesn't lead to expansion. You know, whenever God challenges anybody to expand, it's always a crisis of faith. Well, how can I do that? Because he's never going to tell you something to do something which is easy and which doesn't require faith. You know, otherwise you'd just be doing it anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, he calls Moses in the burning bush, and Moses is just like, whoa, I'm not sure I can do that. You know, he calls Abraham and it's just like, well, leave everything behind and go and then I'll show you. You know, and all the way along the line, every time God really calls people, it creates a crisis of faith in which then you have to go back to God to rely on God to enable you to fulfill it. You know, so God always has big vision, and it usually stretches our belief in our capacity to outwork it. And, you know, when you look at all those things, God desires you to increase in everything. So to become more like him, to carry more authority, to carry more government, to have more blessing. Everything is about increase. You know, God never wants things just to remain the same. He wants everything to continually be fruitful and increase, so that his peace, which is about wholeness and bringing people back into God's original purpose, can be outworked. And we do have to learn how to subdue. You know, there are obstacles. You know, there are mountains in the way. There are things which are hindrances. There are things in our own lives which can be encumbrances and things that entangle us and things that try and tether us to where we are so that we can't go beyond where we are. And we have to be willing to deal with all those things. But the great thing is the power and the victory to do that is in the cross.
Right.
Jesus has already done everything necessary for us to engage that. We don't have to come up with newfangled ideas of how we're going to do it. We need to apply the victory that's already been accomplished for us and outwork that victory in our own lives. You know, Jesus did it all. We have to apply it. You know, and then we need to rule, because he came and said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. The rule of God is here. Why? Because he was here. Because he's the king. You know, so wherever we are, there should be rule. Because we are a royal priesthood, we're kings. So wherever we are, we should never be subject to the situations and circumstances around us. We should be ruling and establishing that rule, which is heaven's government, around our lives. You know, and that might be a small area, but that area is designed to grow. You know, and so the influence that you have as an individual, and any influence that you have when you become something corporate, is always supposed to grow. And if you're only doing things that are spiritual things that don't have any earthly outworking, then we've missed the point. Because it must bring transformation and restoration to creation itself and the freedom that we come into, creation recognizes and creation responds to. So, you know, when you really catch hold of the ability that you actually have as sons of God, you can change things. You know, I was talking to someone earlier about, you know, stuff that's going on in their area and they'd really like to see it change. Well, yeah, if you have a mandate and you live in an area and you have authority in that area, then you can bring change and transformation. It may not be a overnight thing, but it will be an increase which eventually brings change. And actually, I was talking to someone when I was in LA, and we were helping to establish a Venture 3 in the LA area, and she was telling me she used to live in Venice Beach. And in living in that area, God showed her some strategies to change the area neighborhood by neighborhood. And what happened was all the area, which was a very drug cultured area, basically there was a lot of crack dens, it was quite difficult. Actually, it drew the blessing of God into that area and actually transformed it. And actually, you know, Google moved into the area, others, I mean, the whole thing became an area where now it's the up and coming area, people want to live there. Whereas before, no one wanted to live there. You know, but she actually took a strategy from heaven and she began to call things and call in and see change, and things changed. And that's just one person who took responsibility for what God told her to do. No one knew what she was doing. She just was faithfully going around each neighborhood as God showed her, calling in blessing, calling in favor, calling things to come and change. She wasn't trying to get rid of the old. She was just trying to bring something in which would be better. Sometimes we focus so much on the negative rather than focusing on what God wants to bring in instead. So it's like, you know, we're talking about, well, this area, this brings such an economic thing in the area, but it's very negative. So everyone's willing to put up with the negativity because it brings a good economy. Well, when we see those things removed, we have to legislate and govern for a replacement and a bringing even greater blessing to whatever replaces those things in that area. So it's not enough just to try and get rid of the negative things. We must legislate and govern the positive. And that might even need to release creativity so that actually those things that are going to come into those areas will be totally different than anything's happened before. But you can release it when you start to get heaven's strategy and you start to legislate, call it into being to bring change and transformation. So we must learn to rule and to establish heaven's government, to legislate those things to bring change, transformation, blessing and wholeness, so that actually every place that we are begins to take on a reflection of heaven. You know, and then that will expand and bring more and more blessing. Now, that's not to say that everything outside of when we establish the kingdom areas are going to be blessed. You know, but we have to extend that blessing so that more and more people are aware of it, get drawn into it, and then they receive in their own lives things that will bring change and transformation to them. So there's a lot we need to learn how to do, and God wants to teach us how to do it, and so we can then make earth like it is in heaven. You know, that was always God's intention. Adam was given a garden connected to Eden, God's garden, so that they would be overlapping. So God would engage. You know, God would engage Adam, walk with him, walk him through his wonderful garden in Eden, engage him in the river of life and all the wonderful things there, so that he then, having received the revelation and the truth of what God's garden looked like, could then shape his garden to reflect that. And he had the authority and the power and the abilities to be able to do that. He could terraform his garden. Now, we are learning to do that in our own hearts, in the garden of our hearts, and we're practicing there, but actually it's just practice for what we're going to do in the world. You know, we will begin to terraform. We will begin to change to bring water where there's no water. You know, and if we need water, you know, we have many precedents in the Word of God where we can bring water out of the earth and out of rocks, and, you know, every precedent you can find for a miracle in the Word, you can use. You know, and then when you've exhausted all those, you can begin to creatively release some new ones. Because we can go and do greater works than all the things that have been seen, because there are things that our eyes have not seen and our ears have not heard and our hearts have not yet seen, but in the Spirit they will be unveiled so that we can see more than we can imagine or think. So we are not limited by what we've already experienced. We're not limited by anything which is an earthly sense, because heaven has so much more than we've ever experienced here. And we can then release that into the earth. So there's a whole lot of stuff. Now I'm getting stuck on this verse. I need to move. So Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. So that is where we're actual citizens of a heavenly kingdom.
Yes.
We're not actually citizens of the earth. We're citizens of heaven, so that heaven will become like, earth will become like heaven.
Yes.
You know. So Colossians 1:13, we've been rescued from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son. So we now live in a new kingdom. Now, most people only see that as a spiritual thing. It does have a spiritual application, but we become born again and we have the kingdom come to live in us because God dwells in us. But it goes beyond that and into an understanding of what the kingdom really is. And the kingdom is not the works that we see, but the realm or place of the basilia is the word. And it really means the place of his rule and reign. Now, we need to become a place of his rule and reign. So he needs to reign and rule in us. And when heaven recognizes that God is on the throne of our lives, heaven gives us a position of kingdom authority so that we can actually operate in the kingdom there. So we're citizens of a heavenly supernatural kingdom, living on the earth, but ruling from heaven so that that rule can be established on the earth. So there's a whole new way of engaging. And that's why a lot of this stuff is described as sort of a new way, because it isn't a way most of us have been familiar with operating before. We've generally been operating mostly tied to the earth because we didn't ever realize that we could go to the realms of heaven while we were still alive.
Yeah.
Even though we have precedent through it right throughout the Word of God. I mean, if you go through the Word of God, you can right from the beginning start to see people who were able to engage in both realms. Those that walked with God. You know, and that's an important thing. It's like loads of people did it. Enoch did it. And Abraham did it.
Yeah.
Moses did it. 70 elders went up into heaven with him, and they even ate in heaven. Joshua went up with them. You know, then you have all the way through those that engaged that realm. And you had someone like King David who lived in the presence of the future. Hence, he was able to describe worship, which was not restricted by some physical temple, but was open. You know, David's tabernacle, the keys of David. You know, he was living. You know, he said, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me." Well, the Holy Spirit wasn't even given in those days, other than for specific purposes. So he had insight into what it would be like for our day. You know, Isaiah went into the temple. Ezekiel was taken into the heavenly realms. You know, Joshua, the high priest, stood in the courts of heaven. I mean, it's all the way through. And then if we get into the New Testament, it's like people, "Oh, well, that's all Old Covenant." Well, no, Jesus actually described an open heaven over him and angels going up and down. You have Paul, who goes into heaven. You have John, who goes into heaven. So all the way through, heaven is open for us to engage. Now we need to rediscover that that's a right of sonship for every single person. It's not special people. Those who were engaging in this in the 70s, 80s, tend to make it so mysterious that it felt like it was only for those sort of special people, and they could never be like that. You know, the prophets. You know, and, you know, prophets don't have to be weird. You know, they really don't.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, you really don't have to be weird. But it was presented that way. And they seem to be so cryptic. You know, I went to some of those sort of Kansas City prophet conferences, and it was just like, I'm listening and thinking, well, even if you gave me a prophetic word, I'm not even sure I'd know what it meant, because they just seemed so cryptic. You know. But what they did, they had amazing encounters, experiences, but they never really taught anyone else to do it. You know, what God wants us to do is to engage in supernatural things ourselves and then give that away, open that realm up. Don't restrict it, because information carries power with it.
Yeah.
You know, when you know something that someone else doesn't, you have authority and power over them, which God actually doesn't want us to operate that way.
Right.
He wants us to freely receive and freely give. So that we're always blessing people with what we have, not holding it back through fear. Well, if I give it away, will I ever get any more? Which is a slavery mentality. Now, a sonship mentality must be generous and open-hearted with everything we've got. So God wants us to rule in a completely different way. So Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God is within you. Well, that's where God dwells in us, in that little place where he's knocking, saying, "Let me out." You know, and that's where we get a trickle of his presence and the trickle of the river of life. We need to open that kingdom up So it fills us and flows through us and then starts to go around us and fill the world, which is how we fill the earth, is the kingdom flowing in us flows from the inside out. We don't try and establish things from the outside in. We don't try and build things in the flesh. We allow things to flow and be birthed in the spirit. So therefore, they're flowing because the kingdom is where God rules. Heaven is where God rules. So that kingdom is heaven in us. You know, it's just the connection point where the reality of heaven and earth are connected in us. So we become a gateway. And we are a house of God to reflect God's heavenly house, which is a mountain, the mountain of the house of the Lord, Mount Zion. So our spirit is a mountain, a place of authority that God can reign. Now we have to submit to that reign and give him permission. He won't force it. You know, until we give him permission to reign in our spirit, there's a very limit to what we're ruling in the heavens. But as soon as we surrender and we become a channel rather than a stagnant pool, you know, because it needs to flow. Water must flow, not be stagnating. So everything must flow through us, around us, to bring blessing to everything. So our whole mission in life is to bring blessing to the earth, to restore it, to bring it back to original purpose. So Ephesians 2:19 says, "You are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are God's household." So now we're described as the household of God, which is heavenly, but needs to become earthly. The problem is we've tried to build it on an earthly plane without having the heavenly blueprints to do it, which is why we've created the system of religion denominations that exist, because we built it from the point of view of the earth. And actually a lot of it is just copying other systems of government which aren't heavenly, you know, which is not what God wants. So we need to realize that we are citizens of a different realm. So God is with us, God is in us. Will we allow it to flow out? That's the key to seeing growth and transformation, is allowing things to flow. So 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ be reconciled to God." Now, this has been taken very much in a very practical sense, which it is. You can go and share the good news with someone and you're an ambassador of that good news, and you present that good news in such a way that someone wants that good news because they see your life and you're demonstrating that, which is great. And that evangelistic aspect of that is wonderful. But there's so much more to being ambassadors. An ambassador represents the kingdom of another place. You know, it's not just an evangelistic thing. We have to be fully ambassadors of another realm so that that realm will be established in this one, which is a different thing. You know, and Ephesians 6:20, Paul said, "I am an ambassador in chains." Now, he was in physical chains on the earth, but he wasn't limited in what he was doing. He was able to impact many parts of the world, even though he was in physical chains, because he had spiritual authority. You know, so we need to understand being an ambassador is linked to being part of an embassy. God does not want any loose cannon ambassadors who just wander around doing their own thing. Yeah. You know, an ambassador lives in an embassy. Yeah. You don't get ambassadors who don't have an embassy. You know, so God wants us to be part of something which is an embassy so we can all be ambassadors. It's not just some people are ambassadors. All of us get to be ambassadors. So it's important to know, well, what are ambassadors? Well, here's a definition of it from the dictionary. A diplomatic official of the highest rank appointed and accredited as a representative in residence by one government or sovereign to another. So every one of you is a high-ranking diplomatic official. You carry the governmental authority of heaven. You know, and you've been accredited and appointed by God as a representative of heavenly authority so that that can be brought into this realm. Not just to have a sort of influence, because ambassadors really are just sort of really just doing what their nation tells them to do. We're actually supposed to change and transform things, not just represent. So it goes beyond just a representative into someone who's an agent for change. So every ambassador must be an agent for change. We must bring change and transformation through what we do. So another definition is an authorized messenger or representative. All of you are authorized. You've been appointed and given an authorization to bring a message. What's the message? The message of the kingdom. You know, we've spent so much time preaching a gospel of salvation, and we've not preached the gospel of the kingdom. Right. You don't see Jesus preaching the gospel of salvation. Yeah. When people engage the kingdom, they get saved.
Yeah.
So when you demonstrate the kingdom and the rule of God, people want to transfer from the darkness into the light.
Yeah.
But you have to be light. If they see only darkness, they'll think they're living in the same thing. So there has to be something which is different and a change. So another actual definition in the dictionary is an agent, an apostolic delegate, a messenger, a minister, or an emissary. And they're all terms which describe what all of us are called to do. You know, but we have to accept the position. Because if you don't accept the position, you can't operate in the position. So if you think of yourself as nobody and nothing, and well, I can't make any difference, and well, who am I? Who's going to listen to me? And you think of yourself the way maybe your life has shaped you or people have told you, you're never going to be a messenger of heaven. You have to see yourself as a son. Because a son is a co-heir. A son isn't a servant.
Yeah.
We serve God because we're sons, mm-hmm. not to become sons. So it's really important that we recognize our identity. Because that identity will show us our position, and that position releases the authority to be able to act. Okay. John 15:19 says, if you are of the world would love its own. But because you're not of this world, I chose you out of the world. So if we're going to be ambassadors of another kingdom, we can't live like the world does. We must live differently. We must live according to a new set of guidelines, a heavenly guidelines, not earthly ones. And, you know, a lot of the church doesn't look much different from the world. We have to be different. We're not of this world in a physical sense. We're of a heavenly realm, birthed in heaven, then we're birthed into the earth. We have a role to play, but we need to see ourselves as citizens of another kingdom. John 17:18, as you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. So just as Jesus was sent, we've also been sent. So we have the same authority that he has, so we can outwork and complete the things that he did. Because he didn't finish the work. He finished the work on the cross, but he left his people to establish heaven on the earth.
Yes.
So we need to take that responsibility, you know, and accept that and actually operate in the fact that we've been sent. You know, that's what a delegate is, or an ambassador is. They're sent into another realm to carry that authority. Again, Jesus said in John 20:21, Jesus said to them, peace be with you. And this is absolutely vital. Without peace being with you, you cannot do this. Because you will try and do it without the peace or the rest or anything else. So as the Father sent me, I also send you. And a number of times he demonstrated the whole thing of love, joy and peace. My peace I leave you. Not as the world, my joy I leave so your joy can be full. You know, love one another as I've loved you. He demonstrated a whole different way of living, which was so different from the religious systems that they were used to, which was full of rules. You know, rules and traditions of men to keep everyone safe. And everyone got restricted and in bondage. You know, they were so safe they couldn't do anything. So this makes us ambassadors, citizens of another kingdom of heaven, living on the earth, but being gateways of heaven on the earth so we can bring heaven to the earth. So if you're not connected to heaven, there's no way that anything can flow. So God wants that connection of heaven, the kingdom in us, flowing from heaven so that we can establish heaven around our lives and bring change and transformation. And the way that's going to take place is going to be very different from what it's happened in the past. You know, and I want to sort of share some of the things about restoring to us some of the things that were lost so that we can actually use this in a supernatural way. We don't have to go about doing things in a natural way. This is a supernatural kingdom, And, you know, as ambassadors, you know, we are the highest ranking figures. The angels are below us in rank. You know, we were made a little lower than God. You know, I know one of the translations says we were made a little lower than the angels, but actually it's Elohim. Now, that can be sometimes translated angel, but it mostly is translated God. We're made a little lower than God as his sons, so that we carry that authority. We take our orders from another place. We don't get dictated to by this world. We get directed and empowered from another place, which is heaven. Which is why we have to go there.
Yeah.
Why we need to live there. So we're protected by heavenly protection. Our provision comes from heaven. We live by the laws of heaven, the economy of heaven, the system of government in heaven. Now, I'm not saying you should ignore earthly government, because we're instructed to honor those who are in authority over us in this realm. Unless they contradict heaven's realm, in which we have total permission from God to say, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
You know, and there may be some things that come around what we're told to do that we're going to say, no, we're not.
Yeah.
But our heart must be right. Yeah. You know, we don't dishonor authority. We respect it, but we realize that we do have a higher authority that we operate under. So it's like when you are an ambassador and the embassy, the characteristics of, let's say, okay, I mean, I've used the UK here, but you could say the US in, let's say, China, that piece of land in China where the embassy sits is US property. And it has US soldiers on it, and it has its orders come from the White House, not from China.
Yes.
So this is exactly what it's like to see an embassy of heaven on the earth. We have angels protecting our embassy. It's a piece of heaven on the earth, just like Adam's garden, so that that garden can reflect heaven. So we take our orders from heaven, and we outwork those things under the total law and government of heaven, not the earth, which is why we have authority to bring change. So the culture in the US embassy is not Chinese, it's American. Because actually, that's where the land belongs. So our culture must be established out of heaven, not through the earth. Therefore, we must be a counterculture. We must change the culture that the world is operating in and bring transformation to it. When you're living in another country as an ambassador, you have a constant communication with home. You don't do things on your own back. You basically only do what headquarters says you can do.
Yes.
Ambassadors in China would not make an agreement and some sort of a contract with China without the White House saying you have permission to do this.
Yeah.
So it's important that we don't do things other than when we come and get heavenly governmental mandates, blueprints, scrolls from heaven so we can do this. So we're tasked really more than just being representatives of heaven. We don't just represent the interests of heaven. We're here to colonize. We're here to see heaven fill the earth. You know, it talks about the mountain of the kingdom filling the whole earth, like this stone cut without hands, which became a great mountain that filled the whole earth. That's the kingdom that Jesus established when he was here and has given to us to continue to outwork it. You know, Daniel is a great chapter where it talks about Jesus' ascension and going back to the Ancient of Days and receiving the kingdom and then giving the kingdom to the people of God, who then would begin to actually outwork the kingdom. So we are all part of that kingdom and all called to be responsible for that. So as every one of us, as a citizen of heaven, we carry heavenly authority. Every one of us is a king to exercise and over our sphere of life to rule. You know, and so much of the Christian life is being under things rather than being over them. And this is why we must engage heaven, because we have to be above. We're going to rule. You know, and what we do is we're constantly connected with the above. So above is constantly flowing through us into the earth. So to do that, we must surrender doing things from an earthly perspective. So it's a daily sacrifice. We make ourselves a living sacrifice. That's our priestly role. So that we can then demonstrate God's power and authority from our kingship. You have to be a priest and coming to the intimacy of God and surrender to only do things from the authority in kingship. Otherwise, you will try and dominate and domineer. Ruling is not domination of people. It's actually bringing blessing into the environment so people can be blessed. You know, the whole problem is we created a system of government which actually controls everybody, you know, rather than frees them. And God's kingdom is not about control. It's about authority. And there's a huge difference between authority and control.
Yeah.
And when you release godly authority permits and gives permission. It doesn't restrict. Which is why, you know, the whole thing of the Ten Commandments, it's all about giving us permission to live in a relationship of being in the hedge of God's protection so we can increase, not be controlled. God doesn't want to control us. He wants a relationship with us. And in that relationship, he wants us to share and work together. I don't work for God. I work with him. You know, and so many people think, well, I'm working for God. You know, and so many people have a desire, well, I want to be full-time working for God. We're all full-time working with God because he's in us. And he wants us to cooperate with him every day to outwork and fulfill our destiny, flowing that into the earth. So all of us represent one kingdom heaven in another earth. And we need to see ourselves in that role. So you live by the laws of heaven. So it's important to know what they are.
Yeah.
So an ecclesia is like an embassy territory on foreign soil. And all of us are the church. We are the people gathered around heavenly blueprints. That's what church is. That's what an ecclesia is. People gathered. It's not a structure. It's not a set of meetings. It's relationship with God and each other that establishes an outworking of God's purpose to bring change to the earth. So all of us are protected by heavenly authority. If you know, if you don't know, then most people don't know, unfortunately, then they're just subject to everything that's going on. When you know your authority, everything is subject to you. So we're not to be influenced by earthly culture, society, customs, but we're to influence them and transform them. The only way we can do that is if we live differently, if we demonstrate what it is to be the light of the world so that people will see a whole different system. So living under that heavenly authority, we have a new health service. Now, I don't talk about this health service too much in the US because I know your health system is not quite as good as ours. Yeah, we have a free health service at the point of contact for everybody. We don't have to pay for it. It's free. It's a great service. But actually, it will not do in the future to meet people's needs. You know, we need a new system of health, which is heavenly, where there is no sickness, there is no disease. There's nothing but wholeness and fulfillment. So we need to be under a new health service, a new system of government. Now, it's great to minister healing, and I think most healing really should be ministered to the world who need healing. In the church, we really should be living in health. You know, we should be living under a new system, knowing that it's our right to be living in health and wholeness and blessing in the fulfillment of everything that God has called us to be and who we are. So we need to come into a new understanding of what that means. You know, and I love seeing people healed, but I think that should be a demonstration of what we're living in to those who aren't living in it. So we need to see a total change in that whole system of our understanding of health. You know, and health doesn't mean that we're permitted to abuse our bodies and expect us to live in health. We do need to be sensible and look after ourselves, you know. But health will enable us to live free from any constraints of our generational line in terms of sickness and live in the presence of, you know, God is our healer. So health is our inheritance. A new economic and financial service. We're not going to need to live under welfare services. As much as they're helpful, God has a better system of government for us. And when it comes to finances, we need to see the finances of heaven released. If we're going to be operating, I mean, you can see what happens when you get a little shaking of the world financial systems. If you have a big shaking of the world financial systems, and the fact that most of the world financial systems have nothing behind it, it's just electronic movements of paper money, and there's no gold standard or anything else that backs most of it up, it wouldn't take an awful lot to see the whole thing come down. Well, we have to be ready to live under another system.
Yeah.
Now, again, we have so much in the Word of God that gives us precedent. You know, if we didn't have any money, we have a precedent that none of our clothes or anything would ever wear out. That's what the children of Israel did. They walked for 40 years and their clothes never wore out. It was in the wilderness.
We want that special.
But, you know, Jesus basically made it really clear. If you have need of something, it can be supernaturally manifested. Hence, coins could appear in the mouth of a fish. You know, I don't like fish, so I need coins to appear in the mouth of a chicken or something. So, or a cow. Yeah.
Now
I remember. Yeah. Well, I have caught quite a few fish in my time. But we need to see that in heaven, the resources are available for everything. That everything we're called to do has a heavenly resource that we can draw on.
Yes.
All the spiritual blessings are available in the heavenly realms. So we need to see that God is our provider. Now, in the transition of where we are now to what we'll be, that finance can come through lots of different things. And I'm not saying we shouldn't work or anything like that, because we need to do what we can do. But when those things are no longer there, we can't wait and then look and think, what are we going to do now? We need to be readying ourselves for what is coming and start thinking about how we draw the resources of heaven and how we have things. If there was no financial system and no money, what would we do? Well, we have to think about that now. Don't wait. And so we're running around like headless chickens. Oh, no, panic. We've got nothing to do. How are we going to do this? Start thinking now in preparation for what may come. So there is a whole different system of how you can do things from a heavenly perspective, from an economic and a financial way. And, you know, sometimes, you know, if you were living in a city of refuge under heaven's economy, you would not need to pay people things. Because
yeah.
We would all be serving the embassy of heaven on earth in a completely different fashion. Our mindsets would change. It wouldn't be, well, I'm worth more than them because my role is more important than them. None of that will be in place. We'll never be looking at things from an earthly perspective again. We'll be looking at things in a totally different kingdom mindset, which will free us from all those financial things that we live under and live in. So the whole poverty mentality and all that stuff will change once we start to see ourselves as sons, having access to the resources of heaven. And every supernatural way that may be released, you know, I would encourage you to look into the realms of heaven and begin to ask God to unveil what you need to know now. You know, so you're not taken by shock or surprise when things change. A new education system. You know, you can go into the realms of heaven and you can go into the library room of heaven and you can read things in the library room and you can just know them without actually having to learn them. So there are things that we're going to need to know how to do right now in the future, which we don't know. But actually, we're not going to go to the university or the college to be taught. We'll be taught from heaven's books.
Yes.
I mean, I went into the library room once and it was dark and there was this one little light and one book. And I thought, well, this doesn't seem much like a library. And God showed me this book and I read this book and it opened up my eyes to some things. And then I said, well, where's all the other books? He said, well, if I showed you all the other books, you would never come out of this place. Because that was before my soul was dealt with in the dark cloud. I would have needed to have read everything.
Yeah.
It's like it would have been the joy of my life to stay there forever reading everything because I wanted to know. Obviously, I wanted to explain it to others. So he only showed me one book. But I knew enough from reading that to know that there is a supernatural education system that God can empower you with revelation and understanding of how to do things that you do not need to learn how to do. So when it comes to managing a city of refuge, which could be, let's say, I don't know, 100,000 people could be in a city of refuge. You're going to have to learn how to do all sorts of things to manage 100,000 people. It isn't just going to automatically happen. It's like everything will need to be governed. It's a government. It's kingdom government on the earth. Totally different from what natural government is, but still a governmental way of engaging. So we need to start thinking in a whole new way when it comes to cities of refuge and those type of things. It will be a whole new society. I believe it's paradise restored. A restoration of what Adam and Eve would have had if they'd continued to live in the garden and see the garden fill the earth. The garden released its fruit. They didn't have to work with the sweat of their brow. That was the curse. Well, we're freed from the curse of the law and every curse, because Jesus became a curse when he took the cross. So we can be free from anything which gives us a mindset that limits our being blessed and therefore being fruitful. So we need to start just being prepared to think things differently. So therefore we need new speech, new attitudes, new ideals, new culture. And Jesus demonstrated what those were. He started to teach and show what it would be to live under heaven's government, not earthly. So there will be new behaviors and new abilities and new powers. And that's the sort of stuff that, you know, I'm looking forward to. A restoration of supernatural abilities. Because when Adam fell, he lost the ability to use certain wavelengths of light and to engage in those wavelengths because they were spiritual wavelengths, and he lost the ability. That will be restored. It's being restored. When the flood happened, they lost the ability to use certain frequencies of light, and then it was restricted to the visible spectrum. You know, there are other frequencies and other things that they were able to use. They were able to use sound in a way which we are now technology-wise starting to learn how to do, but they did it with the power of their voice.
Yeah.
So they spoke, and their voice carried a frequency and a vibration that actually created things. So when it comes to establishing embassies of heaven, the authority that we're going to get to use is very different from the authority we're using now.
Yeah.
And we will be creative, and we will be able to use the authority of sound and light to shape and create things in a totally different dimension. So heaven will be transforming the earth. And that means terraforming back to its original condition and bringing restoration. Which is going to be really interesting, I think. So if we're going to have heaven's government on the earth, it's got to be a new pattern of government. And this is where we are right now, where the challenging of the governmental systems of the church are being overthrown. So heaven's government is a bench of three, Father, Son, and Spirit. Earth needs to be a reflection of that, so we need to see heavenly mandates and blueprints operating from heaven's governmental pattern. Therefore, we need a foundational servant leadership that releases people to fulfill their destiny as living stones wherever they're called to be established as part of God's blueprint. Because what God does is all through people. It's living stones that he establishes, and as living stones, we can then create physical things. So that's a whole different way that we need to see how we're going to do things. So it must be bottom up and not top down. Anything that is a top down covering a mountain which goes this way will not be honored as an embassy of heaven. You know, it may be an authority structure on the earth, but it will not be honored by God, and he will not release his authority through it. So no mediatorial coverings that restrict access to God and heaven. No old covenant system. It must be a new covenant system. So in this is what happens. You have a bench of three, Father, Son, and Spirit. You have blueprints in heaven. God shines his light on those blueprints. Certain people have been able to access that, usually visionaries, apostolic people, prophetic people. They pick up things in the atmosphere. And what they do is they establish something on the earth called a vision. Then they build on the vision, a mountain, and then they sit on top of the mountain, and everyone else has to be under them. And then they try and get people to fit into that vision. So people have to serve their vision, which is completely the wrong way around. And God has removed that whole system of government, and it no longer functions. And you're going to find that what people are doing, yeah, it's worth clapping, because, you know, what it does, it frees you. It totally frees you to be you, not what someone else says you have to be. It frees you not to serve someone else's vision, but to serve God's vision. As a living stone, that are part of in relationship with others to fulfill God's purpose. You know, anyone who's telling you what to do in your life is operating above you. Anyone who's encouraging you to hear on a daily basis what God says for you to do is a foundation that enables you and lifts you up. And that's exactly what God wants in leadership. He wants leaders who release people, who don't sit and control people. And if you're under someone else's system of government, I would encourage you to get out of it. Because you'll never fulfill your destiny while you're under someone else's system of government. You know, true leaders release people and are not afraid of them going higher and further. In fact, that's their whole desire, that people would go higher and further, so they can pass the baton on, that then they would pass the baton on and we would continue to increase. Every generation has stopped because of a wineskin that has become rigid and a control system. And God wants to make wineskins that are flowing and flexible and fluid, so that always they are able to be shaped by the shape of God. So every vision that God gives, and he gives, let's say, a blueprint for an ecclesia or a city of refuge, an embassy, the way that will be outworked is the people who are called to be part of it hearing God for themselves. So you and who God has called you to be actually shapes what it looks like. The vision and the blueprint gives you the framework, but the establishing it must come through people.
Yeah.
So when we established, you know, this, and we have a bench of three, and then we establish a bench of seven, the bench of three empowered the bench of seven to hear God for themselves.
Yeah.
So the bench of seven for us look after our day-to-day environment of the church in terms of the people. They organize the meetings. They do seek God for what God wants to do. I'm part of the bench of three, but I submit to them because I'm part of the church. I empower them in one sense, but I empower them to be a blessing to me. So if they want me to teach, they only have to ask me. If they don't want me to teach, I'm not going to throw my toys out of the pram. Well, I'm the bench of three. You can't stop me from teaching. Because I respect the authority that God's given them. Because they have the authority to go and seek God for themselves, to hear what we should be doing on a daily basis. It totally frees me. I don't have to go and do that. I'm just blessed by it. So when they say, well, we really feel God wants us to do this, I'm like, praise God, let's do it. You know, so everything in terms of leadership, then they do the same for everybody else. So we have seven mountains, seven spheres. When we were given those seven mountain spheres and told this is what these spheres of influence are, we were given names. I was not allowed to go to those mountains and determine what those names meant. So I had to have patience. Cheryl? I had to have patience because I received revelation of our church mountains in 2010. I started to share it in 2011. And it wasn't until 2015 that we actually had all those mountains with benches on each mountain. And each mountain had its own blueprint because the people who were called to those mountains actually then went and got the blueprint for themselves. And now they look totally different than what they would have looked like if I decided what they should have been. Because that's the way things function.
Yes.
You release people to go and find what they're called to do. You empower them. Now, sometimes they don't want to do it, because they're fearing and they've got previous history with other church leadership structures, and they feel, what if we get it wrong? We're going to be judged. We're going to be disciplined. And actually, we give everyone permission to get it wrong, because that's how you learn. You know, we're not perfect. You know, we're all learning. So we will make mistakes. But the only thing, if you make a mistake, is to learn from it. So when people make mistakes, share. So what we do encourage is, look, if you, we encourage all our mountains and everything to say, if you feel that something isn't going quite right, actually be open and honest and transparent about it, and then we can work it through and see how we can do it better. Don't run and hide in the bushes and cover up, feeling you're going to be judged, because you won't be if the leadership is servant-hearted and empowering, which is why we need to encourage people to hear God for themselves. Because then everyone is responsible for outworking the destiny that they have. That means everything functions. You don't have to pigeonhole someone. Well, we have a need for children's workers. So how are we going to put the squeeze on them and the manipulation and the guilt to make them volunteer? We don't have any children's ministry because we've never ever had anyone who really was called to do it. So we figure God doesn't want us to do it if he's not calling someone to do it. We're never going to put a squeeze and say, we need this. So our children just are with us and they do everything. So they come and pick up flags, they come and dance at the front, they just do whatever. Now, we haven't got that many of them, but they are growing. We have more coming, you know. But it's all about empowering someone to fulfill their destiny. So we must avoid this structure at all costs if we're going to see an embassy of heaven on earth. God will not honor or bless it if we're trying to set up a control system. It must be a releasing system, a giving people permission. So ultimately, what we need is, we need an alignment with heaven. So how do we get things out of heaven? Well, we go into heaven, we engage with God in heaven, and as a priest and a king, we form an ark. So I go and engage as a priest, I get intimacy and revelation from God, I then agree with that to produce an ark of agreement. So I get a royal priesthood. So you have kings and priests. Now, each of us are kings and priests, but in a sense, sometimes you can have different people engaging to get different things and bring an agreement. But for your life, you can do this every day. You can engage the four faces of God, get a resonance with a frequency of what God wants you to do, and you can come into agreement with him and form an ark which manifests authority. And then what you get in heaven, you can legislate into the earth. So you can bring the word of God that you receive in heaven. You can bring the authority of that word to bring into being, and you can establish on earth another ark. Because on the earth, there needs to be agreement with heaven, so that you get a reflection of heaven on the earth. And you can do this every day for your own life. When you're working together, you can do this every day. You know, when our bench of seven meet, they don't come with an agenda that's there because of all the problems that people might have, which is what they used to do. Is actually they're firefighting, putting out all the problems because everyone had all these problems that they wanted them to sort out. Now they come together and they go into heaven and they ask what God's agenda is. Then they get the solutions that God will give into the situations he wants them to deal with. Totally different way of doing something.
Yeah.
It's all about engaging heaven first, then outworking it on the earth. So then we have a totally different way of how we can establish government. So in heaven, we have the same thing, priestly, man, lion, kingly function, blueprint. God has a blueprint for absolutely everything. The whole of creation, there are blueprints. There are the biggest blueprints that create everything, and there are all small blueprints that help fulfill the bigger blueprints. You will have one for your life. You will have one for everything you do when you come together corporately. When you shine on something, a light, it forms a shadow. And it's that shadow which forms on the earth. Now, as we looked in the other picture, you don't build on top of the shadow. You form a foundation beneath the shadow. So you form a bench of three underneath the shadow, which then releases everyone to fill the shadow. And then that shadow actually will always expand. And people will always be able to go further and higher and engage into the realms of heaven and beyond and fulfill their destiny, both in this age and the ages to come. So we're not going to stop at this age. We learn to practice in this age so we can do it in the ages to come.
Excellent.
I mean, it's really exciting to think what the ages to come are going to be. Yes. I've seen some of the things in the discovery rooms and the scroll rooms of heaven, which are for the age to come. I mean, it's very difficult to describe them because none of them have ever been seen before.
Yeah.
But they're there, waiting for us to come into the places of maturity where we can function. So we really need this governmental structure in a city of refuge or an embassy of heaven to be fully operating from heaven's authority. If we try and copy any other system, it won't work. It must be everyone hears God and has direct access into heaven for themselves. No coverings. You know, Jesus is our covering. He's a doorway that gives us access. He's the veil which is open. So there is no covering which blocks us.
Yeah.
You know, the enemy always wants to put a covering over us so we can't see the revelation of the truth. It's he actually says that. He blinds the eyes of those who can't see the truth.
Yeah.
Because he veils their eyes. Religion veils our eyes. The kingdom unveils our eyes, so we can go through the veil and we can see the truth, experience the truth, and have revelation of that truth. So then we get authority to speak on God's behalf. And that's creative authority. I mean, this is the exciting stuff. We get to be creative because we're made in the image of God, who is the creator. And as Jesus, the Son of God, established everything, he's giving us the authority to establish things and to use his authority to speak them into being. So we will have the supernatural power of heaven at our disposal. When the Romans went into an area and they fought and they took some ground, they never proceeded to go further until they'd established an administrative base. And they sent 300 citizens to essentially invade that territory and then Romanize it. And that's what they did. And the technical term was a Latin phrase called castra pona, or pone. And we had this word received in a prophetic word about 10 years ago. You have to be a castra pone. And we're like, what? What on earth does that mean? You know, but it was deliberately given us as a Latin phrase because the Latin phrase referred to how the Romans essentially colonized the world. And so they would send 300 citizens in and they would create Rome in that place. And then they would bring the citizens in and make them operate under the laws of Rome. So that then it became a Roman colony and they became citizens of Rome. Hence, Paul was a citizen of Rome when he was in Tarsus. And that's what happened. The whole world was colonized. Now, I'm not saying we do this in a military way, because it's nothing to do with military way. It's about love. It's expanding the kingdom of love.
Yeah.
It's demonstrating the love of God, the light of God, everything that people will want to engage in this. But you have to demonstrate a totally different culture. You know, most of the places that the Romans went were what they called the Goths or the Vandals, or basically, essentially, people who were not operating in a civilized way. They were tribes, often very violent tribes. So they would come in and bring some civilization. Well, we have to bring heaven's civilization into a world to bring peace. Because we're supposed to be peacemakers. We're not supposed to bring war into the earth. Our war is establishing, well, it's already been done. Jesus has won the war. Yeah, we just get to administrate the outworking of that from an authority position. So colonization must be our mission. You know, bringing heaven to bring the earth. So every church, every ecclesia should be a colony of heaven on the earth. Therefore, living under a completely different set of principles of government. Matthew 13:24, Jesus presented another parable to them saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in a field. So he showed a whole load of parables that were illustrations of what would happen when we sowed a seed. Let's say you're a seed. Well, when you're planted in the world, you're going to be like that tree that's drawing water from the river of life, whose leaves will not wither and fruit will never fail, and you'll prosper in everything you do. So he's planted us as seeds in the world to be fruitful and to be oaks of righteousness, to demonstrate a whole different way of living. So we're all good seed. Matthew 13:37. Then he describes what it is. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The seed is the field, is the world. As for the good seed, we are sons of the kingdom. So every one of us is good seed. So think of yourself as a seed that's going to grow into a tree, which is going to bear fruit. And everyone's going to want to come and eat the fruit. Because they're going to look at you and think, what fantastic fruit. I want to eat that. I want to live like that. I want to live in health and wholeness and blessing and peace. And when all this catastrophe going wrong, we're living in peace. You know, we have to demonstrate a whole different way of living from the world in which we live in. Matthew 13:31, he presented another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took, sowed in a field, smaller than all the other seeds, but when it's full grown, it's larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree that the birds of the air can come and nest in its branches. Literally, we don't have to start big. God wants us to start small. He wants us to start with three people coming together or a group of people coming together, seeking God together in relationship. So then that can expand and grow as relationship grows. A lot of people try and do things out of a non-relational structure.
Yeah.
So they set up an organization and they put in business principles and business practices into an organization, and actually what they're doing is just copying the world.
Yeah.
We need to establish relationship, relational government, and then that will grow and continue to increase.
Yeah.
And then everyone will want to come. Even the birds of the air, which are often seen as negative things, actually will want to come into a tree which is demonstrated, because there will be fruit in there to eat.
Yeah.
You know, and actually we want to see people come out of the world and come into the kingdom because they want a nest. Okay, Matthew 13, 33. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. A woman took a hid a little bit of leaven, 3 pecks of flour, until the whole thing was leavened. If you operate in the true demonstration of the kingdom, it will infiltrate everything. Because it has the power to infiltrate everything, because it carries with it a higher realm of authority. It's like, you can infiltrate any system of anything in the world and change it. Because actually it started out unleavened. Now, in the Word of God, unleavened stuff is not usually seen as very nice. Because they used unleavened bread rather than leavened bread. But actually, when you go into the whole Ketubah teaching, one of the things that actually they did to celebrate the Will You Marry Me and the Ketubah was they had one of the festivals. And in one of those festivals, they had a wave offering. And what they did, they had a leavened bread and they poured oil. They broke the leavened bread, pour oil into it as a symbol that God was going to use leavened people to influence the whole world. So we didn't have to become unleavened. We could be leavened people, which would touch the world and infiltrate the whole world to turn it into something which represents the kingdom of God. So we're called to infiltrate and influence the world to restore it to its original condition and ownership, which is God. So it means we have to do things in a different way, which is why, you know, this whole scripture in Romans 8:19 onwards, you know, is something I meditate over lots. I want to know what this is and how this is going to be outworked. The anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. What are we going to look like? God wants to show us off to the world, the whole of the created order, so it will respond to us. What are we going to look like? Not like we do now, probably. No, so we're going to radiate something. We're going to radiate light. We're going to carry a sound. We're going to be a new frequency. We're going to emanate a vibrational frequency of love and joy and peace. And the whole of creation is going to respond to our sonship. Which is why the world itself is waiting for sons so that it can respond, to become fruitful again, to become a place of blessing again, so that we can deal with all the things in the world, like earthquakes and all that stuff. In heaven, there's a room, which room is it? It's one of the 12 chancellor's houses. It's Affairs of the Nations. It's called the Affairs of the Nations. You know, I go in there a fair bit. And there are 9 thrones being prepared in the Affairs of the Nations room in heaven. And each one of those thrones is being prepared for somebody to take responsibility for one of the tectonic plates of the world. Because at the moment, 9 races of giants sit on those tectonic plates, which is why we have such earthquake problems. Because they're being controlled by a race of giant beings, spiritual beings, that control those plates. Now, the Council of 70 in heaven puts a limit on what they're able to do, but they cause friction, and therefore that friction causes problems. So God is preparing for those who will mature into positions of authority to go and sit on those plates. Because ultimately, in the ages to come, there will be no separated landmass, because it wasn't in the beginning. It was one landmass. God was going to actually cause those tectonic plates to correctly shift back into right position when they're ruled and governed by sons of God.
Wow,
so there's so much more beyond what we can just see as sonship. Sonship will bring everything back into restoration, into its original condition.
Yeah, very cool.
So it says, for creation was subjected to fertility, not willingly, because of him who subjected, in hope. the whole of the created order, physical and spiritual, is actually waiting in hope. There is a hope, which is an expectation that sons would come back into their sonship. Yes. That creation itself will be set free from the slavery to corruption. Now, I love this, and this just makes me go, wow. Into the freedom of the glory of the children of God.
Yes.
Creation is going to respond to our glory.
Yes.
So we need to start radiating glory. Yes, we need to be transformed from one degree of glory to another to reflect the image of sonship so we can be transfigured. You know, the word transfigured, transformed, metamorphosed is all about coming from one thing into another. So right now, it's like we're caterpillars, but we're going to be transfigured into butterflies. So a whole different order of being that is free. A caterpillar doesn't get very high off the ground. You know, they crawl around, butterflies fly. And so the whole process, you know, our whole logo is about transforming lives as a butterfly. Because it's about bringing transformation, transfiguration. So when Jesus was transfigured and he was radiating and shining with brilliance, that's the image that he is presenting for us for transfiguration, to be light. Demonstrating light, radiating light, all the wavelengths, because it's white light. And white light contains all the other wavelengths together in one. So I want to encourage you to think about what it is to bring creation into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So are you living free? Because if you're not living free, how can creation become free? So what does it mean to live free? Well, I'm not going to tell you, but I'm going to encourage you to go and ask God and seek for what freedom looks like for each of your lives.
Yeah.
What does it look to be free? You know, unrestricted by anything that's tying you to the earth, so that when you're not tied to the earth, earth will respond to you.
Yes, amen.
So that you can be brought into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. I mean, I would just sort of sit and just like, wow, what does that mean? I need to cultivate the desire in my heart to be radiating the glory of God as his children in freedom. And start cultivating that desire. Meditate on it. Think about it. Daydream about it. Allow the thoughts of God to fill your mind about it. What is it to be free? Because no one has ever been free other than Jesus since Adam.
Wow.
And we're going to come back into freedom and bring the world back into freedom. I mean, it's going to be a transformational, restorational process, which is going to be awesome. So think about it and start to see what it looks like. Now, there are lots of things where Jesus started to talk about what this might look like. He used terminology at the time because he didn't have quantum terminology or anything. So he used terminology like this. You should be the salt of the earth. If salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. That's what religion is. Tasteless.
Yes. Yes.
Good for nothing. Absolutely good for nothing. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. It gives light to all who are in the house. It's like that when we're radiating light, it will start to bring light to the world. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And that's the whole point of us radiating the glory of God, so God gets the glory. It's not so, hey, look at our glory. It's actually, look how we're reflecting God. Look how we're like God, because it's all about him. You know, and that's the key in this. As we shine before men, we must shine before men. We mustn't be hidden. We must engage the world. You know, the whole thing about, oh, come and rescue us, is about withdrawing from the world. So when we talk about cities of refuge, we're not talking about withdrawing from the world, saving a whole load of stuff so that we're going to be rescued when the time comes. We're talking about a whole different system of being prepared to expand and grow and change the world and bring transformation to it. So we need to actually shine before men. Now, what good works? all the good works that have been prepared for us according to Ephesians 2:10. Our destiny, fulfilling the wonderful things that God has called us to be as sons, to fulfill our destiny is the good works. Those good works, according to Psalm 139, were written down before the foundation of the world that we should fulfill in that work. So I'm not talking about just, you know, helping an old lady across the road and being nice to people and being good. It's great to do that. I'm talking about good works. I'm talking about God works. I'm talking about being sons of transformation. It's like those works are beyond what most people can even imagine or think. They're creative works. They're authoritative works. They're demonstrating the works of the kingdom, but also the greater works in the kingdom. And I'm really looking for the greater works, because the works of the kingdom did not transform the world. The works of the kingdom began to transform people. So transformed people have to do the greater works, because Jesus came to transform people so that we could actually be sons who would do the greater works. Because he went back into heaven, and all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him, and he's given it to us. So now we have the authority to outwork those things. I love this in the Message version. Let me tell you why you are here. And that's a good message, isn't it? Why are we here? You're here to be the salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. Now, I just love that. I mean, I think about that and I'm like, oh, the God flavors. You know, because that's a fragrance. You know, you don't taste much unless you smell stuff. It's like, you know, they're all linked together, and it's this fragrances of God and the fragrances of heaven and the wonderful sense of those things, that we will be God flavors and we would bring those out of the earth. So the earth will begin to bring the flavor of God back. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and you'll end up in the garbage. Again, that's where religious things belong, in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You are here to be the light bringing out the God colors of the world. The God colors are not limited to 7 colors of the rainbow. They go beyond that into all the wavelengths that exist, because God is light. And it's like, what would it look like? What are the colors that we're going to bring? You know, how is the world? You know, when I shared my testimony about my first time in heaven, and I saw this amazing picture of how God sees how the colors and how things look like, and then it was like, then I looked at the gray, miserable way we tend to look at life. It's like, I want to see how God sees this earth actually bring that transformation to the earth so it looks like that. You know, we're radiating brightness and just radiant glory. I mean, it's just a radiant glory of God, so the God colors of the world can be released. So this is what it goes on. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. And this is the important thing. We must shine before men. We can't hide it in our refuges where we put the walls up and keep ourselves safe. We have to step out into the world, but we step out with authority and power, as Jesus did. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. Be open up to others. You'll prompt people to be open with God, this generous Father in heaven. I love that description. The more we demonstrate and reflect the love of God, the more people want to know the God of love. They need to experience the love of God so they can meet the God of love. And the only way they're going to experience it is through us. So we must be radiating a whole new dimension of love and what love truly means, so that people of the world can see it. So we're all ambassadors of heaven, sons of light, sons of the kingdom, to do what? Well, to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over it. That's the whole thing, to colonize it and bring heaven onto the earth. So what it says there, Matthew 10:6, your kingdom come, your will be done. I mean, how many people pray this every day? You know, it's like, it's something, it's just become a parroted set of words. It has to be something that's actually established. So your kingdom must come. Your will must be done. So we need to go and find out what the kingdom is and what the will of God is, so that in heaven we can establish it so it can be released as gateways into the earth, which is why engaging heaven is so important, because we have to do it there. And that, again, I think the Message version says this: reveal who you are, set the world right, do what's best, as above, so below.
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, it's just like so simple. I mean, if we just did that, everything's sorted out. It's like, reveal who you are. Who are you? Sons of God.
Yeah.
Reveal it. Don't hide it. Let it shine so people can see it and experience it and receive it. Set the world aright. In other words, the world might be upside down. Let's put it back the right way up. Do what's best. Well, what's best? God's will. Do it God's way. His kingdom is best. As above, so below. That's what God really wants us to do. Jesus said in John 18:37, I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come. I've come to testify to the world, bring the truth into the world, and testify to that truth. John 17:18, as you sent me into the world, I've sent them. So we're coming as kings to testify to the truth, to bring a new reality. Truth actually means reality. What is our reality? You know, what are we really living? You know, what's the reality by which we live? Well, we need a new reality. We need a heavenly reality. We need something which changes our conscious understanding of reality so that we can bring that into the world. Okay, I'll just have a break. I'm not going to tell you how many slides I've done. 29. And actually, I've got 137. Oh, wow.